Thank you for joining me today on Commit Your Code. I am with the amazing Joe Kausert, who is a software engineer and an instructor at Launch Code Bootcamp. Joe, thank you for being with me today. I genuinely appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you have a really interesting story. We have similar backgrounds, so that's why I was particularly looking forward to this. So let's start at the beginning. What did you do before tech?
So I was in fast food for about 10 years, mostly in like the management space. I was an assistant manager at McDonald's. I then left there to move to Kansas City from St. Louis. Started working at UPS as a loader. And then, I went through the Launch Code Bootcamp here in Kansas City, and then went through their apprenticeship program and landed my first job as a web developer at UPS. So going from loader to web developer, that felt really good. And now I'm currently a software engineer at a company called MSTS here in Kansas City.
So I have a question for you. Like, what was, because, you know, people always talk about like the bad things that they experience in these jobs. Like, what was something that was great about that job? Like, what was something that you took like, oh, this is a valuable lesson that I didn't know existed?
A lot of communication skills, being able to empathize with people you don't know, because you're interacting with hundreds of people a day. You don't know what they're going through, whatnot. So just being able to identify that you're like the one face they're going to see when you're in the fast food space, and then knowing that you're just going to try and do the best you can to make their day as good as it can be. And then another thing would be fast-paced problem solving, because it is a huge fast-paced environment, dealing with multiple orders at the same time. Sometimes your credit card machine goes down, sometimes the shake machine goes down. That's a meme right now, and it's great. I love seeing that. Those are the big ones that I took away that I used as strengths when coming from that background into tech.
So that kind of leads me into like one of my big questions that I have for you today. Obviously, we know, spoiler alert, you got a job in tech, but I feel like there's a lot of strengths that you can kind of get from non-tech jobs, and I believe you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel, like, how are non-tech jobs and your backgrounds, how can it be used as the strength in tech? Like, what are ways that you think that it could be utilized in that facet?
Yeah, I named a couple just recently in the previous part. So problem solving, for obvious reasons, because you're going to be solving many different problems in tech. Some you don't know, some are like, you're like, I don't know what this is, but you have to still figure it out anyway. Working in a team member as a part of a process, and that's like huge, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to be working on a team wherever you're doing your coding. And then, like I said previously, fast-paced decision-making, and then communication and empathy, because you don't know what people are dealing with at home. So you have to be the best teammate you can be towards everyone. So those are my big ones. There are probably a lot more, but I don't want to get long-winded in this and like deep dive that far down the rabbit hole.
100%. And you know, one thing I'll say that I think is a major strength that I feel like you learn at a lot of non-tech jobs as opposed to a tech job is how to deal with stress in that environment. Because one thing that we see in our industry is burnout, people stressing out, like it really gets to them. And I feel like when you deal with nasty customers day in and day out, like it kind of helps you in that respect in a big way, because retail especially is that place where someone is going to curse at you or call you out your name, and you still have to find a way to throw a smile on. So you find a new level of strength for yourself that it may not exist if you didn't come from that background. And the other thing is, everything that you do is real-time reactions. So not only is it problem solving, but it's maintaining so that way things don't break. Mm-hmm. Like, what can I do in this moment to make sure that whatever I'm doing doesn't break? And it's that real-time reaction that will actually be that biggest factor towards longevity.
Oh yeah, 100%. Another, it's it's very much apparent now in the current environment we're in with everyone working from home and dealing with that extra stress of like not being able to like see people in person. I'm a huge extrovert. I feed off all the energy from everyone. And so transitioning from being in the office to working from home, like I've been in at home, worked from home since mid-March. And so like you said, like that stress, like training, if you will, has definitely helped in that aspect of it. And it allows you to come through with a clearer mind than someone who doesn't have that experience.
Okay. So we go from McDonald's and you go to work at UPS as a loader. What is the event? What triggers the thought of like, okay, you know what? I've been working hard all these years. I want to go experience this life in tech. Like, what was that moment for you?
So when I graduated high school in 2003, and I actually went to college for a year for, it was computer information systems was the actual degree. And so we were learning stuff like base HTML, CSS. I took a COBOL class back then, Visual Basic. But I just had some instructors that they were industry people that didn't really know how to like translate into teaching. And so it left kind of a bad taste in my mouth. So it was like, I put it on a back burner. Flash forward to, I moved up to Kansas City in 2012 to be with my now wife. And I wanted to go back to school, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I had been talking to some friends, and then I decided, hey, what if I gave, programming another try. Like I'd been doing websites for people off and on. I had a big booming business when GeoCities was a thing. So like all my friends, I helped do like templates and stuff for their MySpace pages. And so, yeah, that was that's what really got me back into it. And then I was in school. It was spring 2016. And my wife and I found out that she was pregnant with our first child. And at that point, we were both working part-time at UPS on different shifts. And then we were both going to school, and it was a thing where it's like, hey, we're not going to be able to maintain part-time UPS plus school and be able to give everything for this baby that we want to give to them. And so that was the big transition from, that was my stop at, when I stopped tech, it's like, okay, I can come back to this. I know I want to do it, but I can come back to that. But luckily I found something that was better for us in the schedule, which was the Launch Code LC101 bootcamp.
So how many kids do you have? Just two?
I have two, yeah.
How full does your heart feel knowing that you have two children now?
It's insane. I joke around with friends. I'm like, if you had told me 4 years ago, because it's almost 4 years to the day. It'll be a week. A week from now is 4 years when I had my first LC101 class. And if you would have told me, I would have went through the LC101 class, got the apprenticeship, landed a job in tech while like having two amazingly like curious and smart daughters, I would have been like, oh, you're crazy. But now I can't think of anything that I love more. And between like, it's truly is a blessing.
You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I thought I knew like how strong my heart was until I had my son. And now it's like, he can look at me in a certain way and I'll be like, all right, let's just do whatever you want to do right now. Like crazy, because you never know like what love is until you receive that love back. Mm-hmm. And I can't trade it for anything in the world. And one thing that I always like ask parents is like, sometimes we need to just take a moment to stop and freeze and just remember that, because we're always so focused on the day to day to day that we lose track that we're literally in the middle of what we once looked forward to, essentially. Mm-hmm. So like, I remember when my kid was in diapers, I was like, I can't wait for him to get out of diapers. And now he's out of diapers, I was like, well, I can't wait for him to get older and then we could play together. And now we're playing together. It's like, we just need to take a moment and recognize that, because it's so amazing. And it goes like that. Like, I just blinked, and the other day he was having to be carried everywhere and now he's playing sports. It's insane.
Yeah, for sure. Like today, actually, it's funny because today is actually my my oldest daughter's birthday. She's 4. So she we had obviously with stuff going on, we didn't have a party, but we got some presents, took some pictures, we did some FaceTime with the grandparents, and it's insane to think, like, I remember holding her at my graduation for Launch Code, and she was not even 6 months old, or right at 6 months old. And now she and I have conversations, and it blows my mind. And one of the blessings that I've discovered through working from home was anytime I get stuck on anything, or I just need to step away from the computer screen, I know I can walk upstairs and they'll hear me open the door, and all I hear is that daddy yell, and then they both come running towards me and grab a hold of a leg, and it's honestly the best feeling, and it helps rejuvenate me even when I'm at like a down spot when I'm working.
That's what I'm talking about. So for those that don't know, Launch Code is an amazing program where it is a completely free bootcamp. They don't charge you anything. They put you through this bootcamp, and their goal is to try and teach you enough tech to place you in jobs. Because like I always say, you can learn as much as you can, but the real learning doesn't really start until you actually land that first job in tech. Because there's just so much you're going to learn beforehand, like there, that you don't know that you need to know until you actually work on enterprise level applications. So Launch Code tries to make that happen through an apprenticeship program. And the apprenticeship is, they try to take all the worries off of the employer and say, we're going to help you train these people, put them on, you know, a temporary basis, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it may be, try them out. And if you don't like them, you don't have to take them. But if you do like them, then offer them full-time employment. And the greatest thing about Launch Code is they essentially are in your corner. Like, they're there actively trying to have your back and support you on that journey. So now, for those that didn't know about it, now you have a better idea. You start Launch Code. How does that go for you? What do you think about it?
So when I started, I honestly was a little cocky in my mindset, because, you know, I had a little bit of computer science class. I took some coding classes in college, and so I thought it was going to be relatively like easy, but I soon found out that was not the case. And I actually almost failed to complete Unit 1. And ooh. Yeah, it was like the second to last day. A lot of it was compounded with our starting date fell in October. So we really got going in late November, and like the end was in December, which is UPS's busy time. And so I was working 80 hours a week doing like that while trying to do my homework in my car, tethered to my phone on Wi-Fi. And so that really opened up my eyes that, yeah, I can't just go and like get this done with the previous experience I've had. I have to actually put in more time. And from that point on, I think I was 2 to 3 weeks ahead in the class, because I was not gonna do that again.
What's interesting about that, so Launch Code, I am a TA there now in the Arkansas program that we have going on there. And you, spoiler alert, are an instructor there now as well, on top of being a software engineer. So obviously it went well for all of us. But what I try to tell them actively, all the students, you have to stay on top of this. You have to stay ahead of this, and you have to allocate maybe 20 hours a week towards this, because if you fall behind, it's almost like a snowball. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's no real way that you can maintain that. Mm-hmm. So, and that's prime example, you were letting it get too big. So like, what did you do to get ahead of that? Like, how did you go from drowning in it to thriving in it?
So I actually took I was very fortunate to have like a vacation, like vacation time with UPS when I was a part-time supervisor at the time. And so I took the week after Christmas off to finally catch all the way up. And then I took the first week in January off to work ahead. And that's all I did the entire week, other than daddy baby duties. I was like, I'm getting ahead of this. And so And at that point forward, it was much easier to maintain because my hours at UPS went back down to normal, which was 25 to 30 hours. And my wife was still on maternity leave until February.
What do you feel like in the unit one and unit two portion? And for those that don't know, these are like the deadlines. Like you're studying one portion of the program in unit one, and then it changes to a different portion in unit two. But if you don't complete everything in unit one, you are then not kicked out, but kindly asked to do something else. What do you feel like before you got to the harder parts at like unit three and lift off and trying to find a job? Like, what were lessons that you gained in that time period?
I think the biggest one was I didn't start utilizing the help of my fellow classmates until I hit like unit three, which my unit three was, we did JavaScript at the time. And so that, like, not utilizing that big of a resource and bouncing ideas off people who may or may not have the same questions as me, I think that really made me, I was pretty much coding with one hand behind my back, if you will. Because that's also a lesson now that I tell my students, and it's like, you guys are all going through this at the same time. You're all going to be at different places within the curriculum, what you're learning, what you're not picking up and whatnot. And together, you're going to come out of this if you utilize that. And so I think that was the biggest takeaway from the unit one and partly part of unit two.
I completely agree. And it goes back to one point that I'll say till the day I die, like having a community or a meetup group or whatever support you changes the dynamic of the levels that you can reach. And when you have that support system, it's almost like you're unstoppable, because when you feel down, they can help. When you have questions, people are going through the same things you're going through. Like, that feedback is so vital. And that's one thing that I'm even telling the students now that we're in this North Arkansas program. Utilize all this communication for the rich resource that it is. You're all literally going through the exact same program at the same time. I guarantee you, if you have a question, 10 other people have the same question. Why not pool those resources together and thrive instead of survive? So I love that, and I completely agree. So obviously you make it through unit three and you do the apprenticeship program, which is landing that job. So how do you go about that? Where do you end up landing?
So I actually, I landed at, there's a company in downtown Kansas City. It's called NIPR. They're the National Insurance Producers Registry. And then, actually, my apprenticeship was actually in testing. So I was a software quality engineer. Technical intern was my official title at the company. And so I was doing manual testing, and then I did like automated tests. And eventually they let me take on some developer stories and such. And I did that for almost a year because they were very flexible in my hours, because they're like a smaller company. They have like 80 to 100 employees. And so there wasn't that if I do well, I could get a job. It was more along the lines of if I do well and there's an opening, I could get a job. And so in order to balance that out, I was still working at UPS as a part-time supervisor while I was doing that. One, to maintain my insurance, because at that point I had my second daughter was on the way and I couldn't drop that. And I didn't want to give up my UPS with no guarantee that it was going to be replaced by something else.
What are your thoughts after going through it? Like, what do you think is valuable and, or maybe invaluable about the apprenticeship program? Like, what are the pros and cons for you?
I think one of the biggest pros is having that mentor, because when you're going through the apprenticeship program, the model is the employee partner that you're placed at will assign you a mentor, and getting that one-on-one time and that feedback and having someone there to like be like your safety net, if you will. And it allows you to fail, but fail forward. Whereas like, yeah, you're going to make mistakes and it's like, you're going to learn, but someone's there to help alleviate the pressure that someone would feel about like making mistakes. Cause that's just part of the learning of it. And I think a lot of newer developers, they're afraid to do that. And they want everything to be perfect. I know I've seen, I love your posts because I've seen a couple of them where you're like, hey, you just write your code. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just push it out and then go back and fix it later. And one of the things that I also like to tell my students is it's a three-part process. You want to make it work, then you want to make it right, and then, albeit, you can make it faster. Like, but we usually never get to step three. It's usually step one, step two, and then repeat. So, having that someone there to allow for that and be a better like landing point for someone who doesn't have the experience. I think another thing that it helps is it helps incentivize the employee partners to bring people on because it's at a lower cost to them. And it's not, it's kind of risk averse. Whereas like you said, if something doesn't work out, then they don't have to offer full-time employment to somebody. But I do believe it's something along the lines of like 84 or 85% of apprentices who get placed do get offered full-time employment. So it just comes to show the quality of the people who are going through the Launch Code program, completing everything, and then pushing forward to the apprenticeship program.
You know, you touched on two things that I talk about pretty frequently. And the reason why I make my post the way I make my post is I know I'm kind of talking to myself in a sense. Mm-hmm. And these are things I needed to hear, one of which being a person who is trying to make perfect code but doesn't release it is producing less value than someone who is making code that's all right but is shipping it and improving upon that each time. I'd rather put out code at 50% of my value, but then each iteration I'm increasing it by 5%, 10%. Eventually I'll reach my 100. Whereas if I'm stuck in perfection, I may never release it because perfection is this crazy level. Because here's the thing with tech, I'm constantly learning new things. Mm-hmm. My perfection level will keep rising and I'm gonna keep going back like, oh, this code is terrible. I've made code where I was like, this is the best thing I've ever written. And then in 6 months, I'm like, man, that was really rough. Like, it's going to keep happening. So I'd rather push something out now and keep fixing it as my skills improve, as opposed to trying to create something perfect. Because here's the thing. For a lot of us, none of us are going to ever cure cancer with code, right? We're going to need to keep making things for practice or keep pushing out MVP products. Don't think every project that you work on is that next life-changing thing. But if you come across it, I guarantee you, even Apple's first iterations of things were really rough and they kept improving on it. Microsoft's first iterations were rough and they kept improving. You're going to improve upon it regardless, because 20 years worth of knowledge will always exceed 1 year of knowledge or 2 years of knowledge. And the other thing that I also say, don't compare your 6 months in tech with someone else's 6 years in tech. Like, keep that very clear in your mind that there's going to be some disparity. So don't just look at them like, oh, they're amazing. They've been doing it for 6 years. You've been doing it for 6 months. Like, keep that realistic standard for yourself and you'll thrive. But one thing that I do like about Launch Code's apprenticeship program in particular is they vet tremendously. And they are not afraid of hurting feelings. And if you are not meeting that standard where they think you're going to graduate, go to this apprenticeship program and kill it, they don't necessarily want to take that risk on you. And it comes back to the other thing that with junior developers, it's a risky hire no matter how you look at it. Your job should be to de-risk it as much as possible, and they're helping in that process. So do you think there are things that they could improve in that program? Like, is there a way that they could add less of a risk factor to the developers besides what they're doing now?
I don't particularly think that there's a lot that they could improve on, because I know that the employee partner team is like doing everything they can to get that relationship. And I think it goes to show, one, a particular company in Kansas City, It's VMLY&R. They have been a huge partner with LaunchCode on like bringing in launch coders as apprentices. And I think there was like three people from my class. There's been, it's been multiple hires. And so I think that's just, it's just a good, it's overall a good model. I think the biggest thing they could do is possibly somehow get into like, say like the bigger companies, like the like Cerner here in Kansas City, like Garmin, and like they're like the like local Apple and like Google, if you will. Like those are the big, where all the big tech jobs are in Kansas City. So I think being able to translate their success in St. Louis, because they work with, they've had people hired at Boeing, Anheuser-Busch, stuff like big companies like that. I think getting that to translate over to like their other markets, be albeit Kansas City, now Arkansas, Tampa, and stuff like that. I think that's the, that's their biggest step that they could take, is fleshing that out more and having more support in that aspect.
I love it. So we go into this next portion of, you go through the apprenticeship program, you're landing these jobs in tech, and you end up becoming a developer at the same place where you were a loader, and that was UPS. How does that work out for you?
So it actually, it's really funny how it worked out, because at the time I was a part-time supervisor. I was in charge of, because we use like scanning devices to make sure the packages are going on the right cars. And so I was in charge of the scan room and like maintaining the scanners and stuff. And the internal website that we use that has everything on it had a job posting for a web developer. And so I was just like, you know, I'd applied to a couple like software positions at UPS before and like didn't get a call back, did not even email. And it was crazy, because I reached out to the manager who posted the job, and I was like, hey, I'd really like, if you had time, I'd like to talk about it and everything. And so we exchanged some emails, and I applied, and I got a call. It was funny, because I was driving from NIPR down to Rockhurst University, where at the time our class was being held, because we're partnered with Rockhurst out here. They give us the space for us to utilize for our LC101 class. And I get a phone call that was like from Atlanta, Georgia. And I have family down there. I have an aunt and uncle, but their numbers are on my phone. I was like, who is this? And so I called them, like I answered the phone with Bluetooth and everything, hands-free, don't text and drive, don't talk and drive. and it was HR rep, like, hey, is this Joseph? We'd like to interview you for the web developer position. And I was like, okay, like I wasn't expecting it. Like at the time I had no plans. I was just working at NIPR. There was a possibility that there would be an opening after the first of the year for me to possibly get on full time there. And so, yeah, I think I applied in early October, and then went through three interviews, one technical interview, one behavioral interview, and then I did like a coding challenge. And then, I actually got the news on the weekend of my birthday in November that they were going to offer me the position.
Hey, happy birthday, right?
Yeah, I was giving my daughter a bath, and like I got a text from my boss, and he's like, hey, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to tell you, but they're going to offer you. I was going to tell you today at work, because we had just started our transition into a new part in the building, and we were crazy busy that day. And he's like, but they're going to offer you the job. And I just started crying. Like, honestly, I was just like, I let out. And my wife comes in, she's like, what's going on? Is everything all right? And I was like, yeah, everything's going to be just fine, because I got my, that was my first full-time job. And it just felt so good to walk into that building every day. Cause it was actually technically a remote position. My boss was in New York and his boss was in Salt Lake. So I still worked outside of the building here by my house in Kansas. But, I'd walk in, I'd see people that I've loaded with, who I helped train as a supervisor, and it just felt awesome walking in there every day, knowing that I'm not here to move packages around. I'm here to code and to give people the information they need to track said packages and whatnot.
So you go through all that. Now you're thriving in this tech career. You get that job and you end up becoming an instructor at LaunchCode as well. How does that work? Why do you go back and do that? Like, you're already doing great things. What's the purpose of adding more to your plate?
So I hadn't left LaunchCode technically since I graduated, because I was a TA for every other cohort. And I just knew that I love what they what they stand for. I love that they're trying to help people get jobs in tech. And just knowing that if I can help one person out that is like me get to where I'm at now, it's worth that extra time. And I was always like doubtful of myself when it came to like being the actual instructor. So I was a TA for, I think it was 3 total cohorts. And when I reached out to our candidate engagement manager, John, up here, and I was like, hey, I'd like to put my name in for the JavaScript position. Because I knew I was strong enough there in order to like teach that and with the basics. But I knew my limitations were like, I don't know it. Like, I know enough C# and Java to be dangerous, but I don't know enough to like give thoughtful responses and like teach in a way that would be like positive impact towards the students. And so we actually split unit 1 and unit 2 into like, I taught unit 1, and then Hank, our other instructor, is teaching C# right now.
That's awesome. So you're now at this point where you're an instructor at LaunchCode, you're a software engineer. Where do you see yourself like in 5 years? Like, what is the plan? What are you trying to achieve and do?
I think my biggest goal is I want to, one of the reasons why I wanted to come on here with you is eventually I'd like to be able to like speak at like say a conference or whatnot, and give that background of like you do. And hey, you don't have to have a computer science degree to do this. You don't have to have a tech background to do this. You can work in your case, a gas station, like frying chicken. And I came from my fast food background, and like, you can do this. If we are both examples of like people who came from somewhere where like, if you would have came, like, you know, like the whole time machine scenario, if you go back in time and tell your past self, by the year 2019, 2020, you're going to be like a software engineer, and you're not gonna have to worry about where the money for your bills are going to come from, and like being able to provide for your family. Like, it's so rewarding. And I couldn't think of anything else that I'd rather be doing.
You know, I completely agree. I genuinely believe that everyone can learn to code. Not everyone's going to work at Google, but you can absolutely work at Jimmy's insurance company down the street and make a great living. Like, most of us aren't going to cure cancer with code, but there may be a select few, and at least we should offer that possibility to them. But you can still make a great living doing this, whether it's at an insurance company, whether it's freelancing, whether it's working at a Fortune 500, whatever it may be. There's so many openings and possibilities in this industry. I think it's absolutely possible for everybody. And honestly, like, maybe back end isn't your thing. You could still do great things in the front end, or maybe front end isn't your thing and you got back end, or maybe both aren't your thing. Well, you got mobile. Like, there's so many areas you can go into. Absolutely agree. Now, if you were to meet somebody today, brand new, never coded a day in their life, and they're like, you know what, Joe, you inspired me. I want to learn to code. I want to become a developer. What should my first step be? What would you advise them?
I would say, if if they want to do it and like they're still like, if they're 100% that they want to do it, I would say look into something like LaunchCode if it's available. And if not, then I would start with I did Code Academy for a while, just doing their basic the JavaScript program. So I think there it'll give you a good idea of whether or not this is something you want to do. And don't be afraid to just like learn the basics and then go and play. Like that's one thing I really enjoy doing. Like right now I'm building I just built like a dice rolling app in Node just because I didn't want to have to go spend, I don't want to spend like hundreds of dollars on dice because I know how I would get if I'm playing like D&D. So I built something for me that I can just use. And like I do a lot of fun stuff on the side, like CSS animations and stuff like that for like Twitch streamers and such. So and I learned all of that by going in and just playing around with CSS and like that's, don't be afraid to play. That's my biggest thing is like if you're actually interested and you if you want to make this a thing, learn what you can, but make sure you're actually like doing things. It's okay to learn like how to make a to-do app, but the to-do app's only going to go so far when like it's on everyone's application. So that's what I would say.
I agree. As a TA and as someone in the LaunchCode program and as someone who is an instructor, I also agree with you that if you can find a LaunchCode in your area or something similar, 100% you should try and do that. It is tough to get in, but it's absolutely worth it. And I would say if you don't have that, my beginning point was Free Code Camp, and I always recommend that only because I feel like education is a window. And it's hard to ask someone who's never coded. Like, and I see people do this all the time, and I feel like it makes no sense to ask someone who's never coded a day in their life and ask them, well, what do you want to do? You want to do front end? You want to do back end? They don't know what that is. And people get mad at me when I'm like, no, just start on Free Code Camp. They're like, well, you don't know what they want to do. I was like, they don't know what they want to do. They may think they know, but they don't really know until they actually do something. If they just spend a month on Free Code Camp, you're going to learn HTML, CSS, and the very basics of JavaScript. But that education lets you peer through that window, and now you're like, well, now I know if I like front end, do I like moving things around and making them beautiful? Do I like the problem solving? But you may understand the basics of other languages, like the limited intricacies of what Python may do or Java or C Sharp. Now you can make an informed decision. Or you may be like, you know, the hell is this? React Native is where it's at, and that's where I'm going. Like, I'm going to go to mobile. Like, you have an idea now to make an informed decision. And that's my problem with college, too. At 18 years old, I know how dumb I was at 18. You're telling me at 18, that's the moment where I need to decide for the rest of my life what I'm going to do. Haven't you met people in that age group where you're like, you're really dumb. Like you're making very foolish decisions with your life. But now you're trusting them to map out the next 50 years. Like it doesn't make an informed decision that way until you go through some life, get some experience and do some things. So I to go back, I absolutely agree with you. Try to get on LaunchCode. And if you can't do that, start on Free Code Camp or Code Academy. And if you can't do that, move to St. Louis or Kansas City and we'll get you in the program.
Another good resource is actually, there are a lot, I don't know a lot of names, but I know there are a lot of good YouTubers that do a lot of like coding basics. And that's actually one of the things I'm like working on now is I have a huge love for D&D. And so I'm in the planning stages for like a series that utilizes like D&D rules and like the character sheet and such to break down like basic coding concepts.
Absolutely, that's great. Yeah, there's some great YouTubers, and to be honest, you can find so much of everything on YouTube. Like it's not hard. It gets a little bit more difficult when you get into some of the more serious concepts, but for the beginner stuff, like it's all over there. So I always ask this question, and if you were to go back in time to the very first day where you ever learned to code, like, would you do it all over again? Would it really be worth the entire journey to go through all of that once again?
So that would have to go back. That'd go back to like 03, 04. And I would, because that experience with the teachers and like hitting that roadblock put me on the path to like where I am now. So like if I go through that and I don't code and I don't like code there, and then I go to school for something else, I don't think I'm in Kansas City or St. Louis when I would have met my wife in 2008, or like reconnect with her in 2012. And then like, you know, like, I just think everything happens for a reason. And so I don't think I would change anything, because every little piece of that timeline, has made me into the person and the developer I am today.
And I always ask this last question, Joe, what was your mama, I made it moment? What was that moment for you where you're like, mama, I made it? Like, everything's come together. This is what it's all about. I'm living the dream. What was that moment for you?
The big one, it has to be when I landed my first full-time job. I just, like I said, there were literal tears. I was like, I don't have to work 2.5, like 3 jobs. I don't have to worry about like, do we need to like postpone this bill to pay off this other thing? And I think that was the biggest moment, is I'm going to get paid to do what I've been wanting to do and learning to do for the last, at the time, it was like almost 2 years. And so that was like, that was my big moment. And I will never forget that day. And like I said, it was kind of sweet, because it was my birthday weekend. So it kind of wraps it up in one. Like, we were already going out for like my birthday, so it was like add on to the celebration, you know?
There you go.
And so, I love that question, because it is so like unique to each person, and it may not, and it also translates to, it may not be like I made it moment, but especially if like for those out there who are like learning, who are like the ones that are probably listening because you're their TA, and for Arkansas Launch Code, everybody's moment where something clicks finally is completely different. Like, mine was halfway through unit 2 in our 3 unit structure. I've had students who were like, once they got the basics down, they're like, oh, I'm going to go learn this framework now, because it clicked and I can do this. So don't be afraid to just keep going and learning, because eventually, and I'm 100% eventually, you will come to a moment where you're just like, holy crap, I know how to do this, and now I can build anything I want.
You know, we've spoke about a Launch Code a lot today. So if like Launch Code, if y'all want to sponsor this, just let me know. I would not be mad, but it was an absolute pleasure. Joe Kauser, software engineer, Launch Code instructor, amazing human being, and D&D badass. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely enjoyed every moment of this conversation.
100%.